Mark. Mark chapter 16. Mark chapter 16. Mark chapter 16. Mark chapter 16, verse 15. Mark 16, verse 15. We'll look at Mark 16, 15. I like listening to you scream too. Keep it up. Just kidding. All right. Mark 16, 15. I'm glad to have my wife here. And Danielle, you want to stand up? And she is, for so many reasons, the reason I get to stand here today, of course. And many people have told me this same thing, but somebody told me one time when I was dating, he said, I know she's A+, you're about a C. And that's about how it is still to this day, and I'm so thankful for my wife. And she is A+, and get yourself an A+ woman, guys, amen. All right, Mark 16, 15. We're gonna read a very famous verse. This month, of course, around First Baptist Church and Hiles Henderson College, has a lot of focus on missions. And those of you who've heard me preach a few times on the bus and so on, you know two things. Number one, most of my messages are about 5 minutes, and that will not be the case today. And the other thing is, most of my messages are not about missions, believe it or not, but today will be a little bit, and it'll be a little unique for me in both ways. I got to preach for an hour or so, and then preach about missions a little bit. But Mark 16, verse 15, and we're going to read that one verse. I'm going to read just that one verse for now, and we'll look at a lot of verses as we go along. The Bible says this, "And he said unto them, Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." Focus this morning on that word go, and it's a very famous verse for good reason. This is a great summary verse. The Great Commission was given at least 5 times, we know, and this is the one where it's the shortest and the simplest and the clearest. It says, "Go ye," and it kind of says the summary all in one verse. "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." And today, for the sake of an illustration, I want to say that all of us in this room should go in some way or another. Many of us in this room ought to be missionaries, and I hope if you're supposed to be, I hope you get going that direction while you're here. And I hope you go this way. Brother Andrew Steers over here is going to represent that goal, that conclusion. Whether you're a missionary or not, I believe it applies to you ought to go somewhere, amen? And I believe that this does represent the mission field. This does represent decades of service, decades of sacrifice. Yes, some turmoil, yes, some trouble. Yes, his wife just passed away, and he's here in America getting ready to go back to Australia, his original home place. But this represents kind of the goal today. Brother Andrew Stewart is going to sit here today to represent our goal, where we're going. If you're going to go, though, Brother Trevor over here represents you. Okay, Brother Trevor represents Trevor. Okay, and he represents the idea that we're not there yet. We haven't gone there yet. And the message today really is just the title, "If You're Gonna Go." If you're gonna get over there, then some things have to happen. And Trevor, we're gonna talk to you today and tell you, hey, if you're gonna go over there, if you're gonna go to the mission field God has for you, the purpose God has for you, the pastor God has for you, if you're gonna be a pastor's wife someday, if you're gonna go over there, there's some things that have to happen. There's some things you have to know like that. I'm going to walk back to my notes and see what I missed. And we're going to go to the first point. Let's see. 195 countries are waiting. 8 billion people are waiting. You need to go. You want to go, maybe. I hope you do. But there's some things that have to happen. I propose to you that if you're going to go, there are some things you must have and you must do now. Today, I'd like to give you 8 things you got to know and do if you're going to go, be, and do what God has for you. Number one, if you're going to go, you got to grow. Stand up, Brother Trevor, if you could stand up real quick. And 1 Peter 2:2, the Bible says in 1 Peter 2:2, let's read it real quick. I already walk a lot when I'm preaching on the bus, but I got to walk a little more today. 1 Peter 2:2, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that ye may grow thereby. You know, Brother Trevor, if you're going to go where God wants you to go, you got to take in God's word. You gotta desire God's word, right? Read your Bible, pray every day is a really cool concept, but a really true concept in this case. You gotta stand, Brother Trevor. You gotta stand strong. You gotta practice now standing strong. You gotta grow if you're ever gonna go. You gotta develop good habits. You gotta develop strong character. You've got to develop biblical values in your life. And not, when I say biblical values, I'm not just talking about what is okay by the Bible, what matters in the Bible, what God cares about, values that'll help you lead a group of people to out of the world and into God's will for their lives. Biblical values. Don't stay a child, young person. Put away childish things, the Bible calls out in 1 Corinthians 13. Put away childish things. Become a man. Become a woman of God. Flee youthful lusts. This is something you got to do now. You got to grow in this area. You got to be able to run away from those things. God wants you to be able to be a mature leader and a helper of others. Learn how to stand up. Stand up for Jesus. And that's the first step. Number two, if you're going to go, you got to glow. You like that? Okay. All right. Good. Let me explain it real quick. Now, the Bible says in Matthew chapter 5, verse 16, Matthew 5, 16, and I do like these points. It's one of my favorite things to do is preach rhyming words. It's fun. All right, Matthew 5, 16, the Bible says this, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." The concept here is very, very simple. The concept is not saying that you do works to do some sort of lifestyle evangelism. This is talking, people already know who your Father is. In other words, your mouth's already been open, right? But the Bible says here, he says this, you gotta be a Christian who's grown enough to where the things you do match what you say. The things you do match what you said they were gonna be when you grew up in Jesus, right? The things you do actually look like your Father in heaven. You actually act like your Father in heaven. And so much so that the Father in heaven, by the way, brings a lot of glory to himself. If people ever look at what God does, as Brother Eddie preached about last night, if people ever look at how God is, they can do nothing but say, wow, glory is the idea of a light. And the idea is God wants you to shine your light on him. And you have to have good things in your life. You have to have good things that are glorifying to be able to do that. But when you do, Brother Trevor, God expects you to, if you're going to get over there, God expects you not just to grow up and stand up, so to speak, but he expects you to start shining. He expects you to start looking good for Jesus. And that might be physically, but a lot of times it's spiritually. And a lot of times you got a light shining up. You got a light saying, hey, look at God, look at God, look at God. And that's the idea here. If you're going to go over there and get where God wants you to go, you got to start glowing, Christian. You got to start looking good for God. And if that's too much, we can turn it off, but we'll leave it on for now, I guess. Seriously, if somebody thinks it's too much, that's fine. Matthew 5, 16 says that we ought to shine before men. You've got to shine for others to see. You've got to shine so others can see how great your God is. You've got to live right. You've got to have an attractive, genuine, consistent, moral, faithful Christianity. That guy has something I don't, and it's something I want. Are you shining? Are you glowing today? You've got to look the part and act the part. From far away or from close up, you've got to shine. Be 10 times better. Philippians chapter 2, verse 14 and 15. I'm going to read that very quickly. Philippians 2, 14 and 15. The Bible talks about this concept. The Bible says here, do all things without murmurings and disputings, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. If you're going to go over there, you got to shine now. Number three, if you're going to go, you got to know. K-N-O-W. You got to know something. 1 Peter 3:15, a very famous verse. I'm going to read it real quickly. It's a convicting verse and a hard verse, I think, for many of us. But it says it like this. It says, But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh the reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. How many times have I been soul winning? Have you been soul winning? I think that's a question for the pastor, not for me. What I'm saying this morning is simply this. If we're going to get over there, that has to become a question for me, who might be the pastor. This is the thing, Trevor, you have a lot of information. You have a lot of good things. You're growing up in Jesus. You're shining your light for Jesus. But there's a lot of stuff you don't know. And Brother Bushy likes to say in our office, you don't know what you don't know. And it's a revolutionary thought, but that's the truth. But the way to fix that is to start learning stuff, start to know stuff. And I have a backpack here to represent that. And a great discipleship lesson here to put in here. There's some other stuff in here. And you got to know. And Brother Trevor, if you can put that on without shining your light on it, too many people, there you go. And you got to know. If you're going to go, you got to know. That's number three. There's so much information that you need to have. You need to know how to help people. You need to know where to look for answers. You need to know how to deal with different people, different problems, different circumstances, weddings, funerals, cultural differences, a new language, and people are teasing me about Chinese and Greek and stuff, and I don't know Greek. I don't claim to know Greek except to teach a few words to our guys, but I do know this. Language is a big deal to a lot of people, and not just missionaries, and that's a big deal. Taboos in a culture, maybe. Advising people, giving wise counsel, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Can I say this about that bag? Fill up your bag with knowledge, with understanding, with wisdom. Ask questions, read good books, learn from wise people, ask God for wisdom. You need information, you need experience. You won't always be able to ask your bus captain or your college professor or your pastor. You may be the pastor someday. You need to know. If you're going to go, college student, you got to know. Don't make the excuse someday, right now. You know, that's why we have stuff like, outside reading, because we actually want you to read it. We actually believe it'll help you. And do beyond that, by the way. Number four, very quickly. If you're going to go, you got to say no. This is N-O, right? You got to say no. Hebrews 12, verse 1, one of the best passages in the Bible, and we'll look at this twice today, I think, but Hebrews 12, verse 1, I'm going to read just verse 1 for now. The Bible says this, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us." As a young person, I grew up in a Christian school and in a good environment, heard lots of preaching. I came down here for youth conference in the summer times and loved that preaching, especially that style and that excitement, that fervor that I heard sometimes here. But you know, I heard this verse a lot, but it wasn't until I was an adult that I realized this is the only place in the Bible that has the term besetting sins. Because it's one of those things pastors talk about all the time. You're besetting sin, you're besetting sin, you're besetting sin. But believe it or not, it's the only time in the Bible it says anything like beset. Like in this context, and besetting sin, this is the passage that people use to talk about besetting sins. Here's what I want to say. Whatever you call it, God's saying here, you can have victory over everything. And I think sometimes I have the danger as an adult and as a teenager, for sure, of acting like there's this thing, besetting sin, and it's a different category than all the rest of the stuff. I don't know if that's what he's teaching here or not. And I'm not here to teach a new doctrine. Here's what I will say. Regardless of what you think about your quote-unquote besetting sin, it ain't in a different category. It doesn't fall in a different subject and say, this is the besetting one, and this is the stuff that's easy to not do. First of all sin, as far as I'm concerned, is pretty easy to do. And there is a God in heaven who helps us, and we'll talk about that in a second. But the point is this, you got to learn to say no to whatever it is. Some of you are good at saying no to the things that are easy to say no to already. Some of us, and not joking about this, some of us it's easy to say no to food and some of us not. Seriously, that's a besetting sin for some of us, but whatever you call it, whoever you are, learn to say no to that one, as Brother Colleen talked about yesterday. And the message yesterday is so good, and I encourage you to listen again and again. But you gotta do that. But not just food. Some of us, it's easy to not play too much on our phones, and some of us it's really hard. The same table can have three guys all playing a game on their cell phones, and two of them got a big problem, and the other person doesn't know it. And you gotta learn how to say no. If you gotta do something different than your roommate does, do it. I'm so thankful there's some people in this room that have done that. Say, you know what, I'm not going to touch the phone for a little while. I'm not going to do this because they recognize I got to be able to say no in an area. I don't care what other people think about it. I want to learn with God's help how to say no to something. And whoever you are, me included, yesterday Brother Cowling was preaching. I was so glad I got to be here. And I thought of something God needs to help me say no to about. Say no about. If you're going to go, you got to say no. And Brother Trevor, there's something that you'll have to lay aside. You might have to say no to dough. I just wanted to say that. To making money. Okay. All right. These are the words that didn't make the cut. You might have to say no to a bow. Yeah. Come on now, girls. All right. All right. These are the words that didn't quite make the cut today. And this is very true. Joking aside, those are two of the big ones, yeah? Money, relationships. And those are some big things we got to learn how to say no to. The wrong relationships. And the Bible says about money many things, but it says, which while some coveted after, they've erred from the faith. And the result of loving money, no matter what excuse you make, is always way worse than you imagined it would be. And I could give testimony after testimony after testimony of people that I know, and some that you know maybe, that have found out that money seemed harmless initially, but that and wrong relationships will kill you, and literally will kill you. You will have to figure out how to say no to your phone, to your TV, your computer, your iPad, to your eyes, to your stinking thinking, to your appetites, to your lusts, to your natural inclinations, to bad friends, to the pull of money, to the potential of fame, to the short-term laziness, to short-term pleasure, to the glamour of a new idea or a new style or a new spin on an old lie. Come on now, to an easier way, to a shortcut, to an attractive offer. You're going to have your shield of faith up and active. And I have a shield of faith prepared here. The activities department, let me use this one. And this is for you. This is something you got to have, Brother Trevor. You got to learn how to say no. You got to learn how to say no to what the devil has for you. Number five, if you're going to go over here, this is life-changing. Listen carefully. You've got to go. Now, this is obvious maybe, but Trevor, a lot of times we get these type of things and we work on these type of things and we kind of are, so to speak, standing still while yet we're moving with life, but we're kind of standing still in a sense still. We're kind of just like there, and we memorized those Bible verses for class, and we're trying to say no to our bad habit or to this temptation or whatever it is, and we're trying to be a good example to our little brother and sister, and we're trying to do the right things in a general sense. But here's the meaning of this. God teaches very clearly that a lot of times people can tend to have a future plan of doing right, but not do that same thing right now. And the application here is very simply, soul winning. If you're going to get to Australia someday, or the literal place called Timbuktu someday, or anywhere in between, or in Europe and anywhere in Africa, Asia, you know, whatever, or somewhere here in small town America, big town America, whatever place God has for you, if you're going to get there someday and you're going to be a soul winning pastor and you're going to lead people at 10 o'clock Saturday morning to go out and tell people about Jesus or whatever it is you're going to do, you have to decide now to have a good habit. And I know we have rules at Howell Sanderson College, and I'm not here to have you check that off in your head mentally, because we have a rule, so obviously I can't be doing too bad. I'm talking to you personally. Are you a soul winner? Matthew 28:19, a very famous verse, of course. The Bible addresses the general topic that we already read in Matthew 16:15, but I'm going to read it to you. Matthew 28:19, the Bible says, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost." That idea of go ye is a very important idea. There is no substitute for you being an intentional, consistent, aggressive, exemplary soul winner. Now you must learn how to go when it's not easy or comfortable or popular later. Now you must learn how to communicate the truth effectively. I don't know about you, but many of us, when we came to Howell Sanderson College, we knew how to give the gospel on paper, but we've gotten better while we're here. And I hope that's the case for you. How to communicate the truth effectively. Now you must experience God's miraculous leading as you go. Now you must experience answers from the Holy Ghost. Now you must experience people who are waiting for you, etc., etc., etc. Brother Bachman has written a book, Brother Mark Bachman, and I've read some of this book about some of his favorite soul winning experiences. But you know what I found interesting about that book is a lot of them happened while he was here at Howell Sanderson College. And it wasn't just he went to the mission field and went to the spiritual desert of Germany, and then God did some rare miracles. God did a few miracles there too, but it was a young man who learned while he was here to have miracles in soul winning. And I want you to have those. I have a story written down. I don't think I'll say the story for the sake of time. But just recently, Justin Maskey and I got to have kind of a cool miracle where a lady said basically that she had just finished reading her Bible through, and we knocked on her door that day. And we just happened to open up Revelation 20:14 and show her. And she had just been asking God that week to say, "God, can you send somebody by who could tell me about Revelation 20:14, which talks about going into the lake of fire, see if I have to qualify for that category or what it takes to not be in that category." You need to have those type of answers. Now you must take physical, real steps that will shape the rest of your life. So, Brother Trevor, I'm going to have you walk back and forth a little bit. And just for the sake of the illustration, not walk across, but just maybe kind of go back and forth here for a little bit. You actually have to move. Hey, if you're going to go there, you got to go here. And go ahead, keep going until you're tired. Or even beyond that a little bit. All right. You've got to take these physical, real steps that will shape the rest of your life. You know the Bible says flee youthful lust? I don't believe it's just spiritually. I think you got to actually move to get away from some of your lusts. That's why sitting in your dorm room all by yourself is bad, not because it's inherently bad, but because I think it's unbiblical. I think that's why you got to literally run when you got a temptation. literally physically run. I think that's important. You must decide now that you will always be a goer. A faithful man shall abound with blessings. You must develop faithful man type of habits now. Number six, you can keep walking for a minute. Looks fun. I'm staying here. Number six, if you're going to go, you've got a tow, T-O-W. Now I got to explain this one. Mark 10 first. We'll go to Mark 10 and then we'll explain it. I'll let Brother Trevor keep walking while we're reading. Mark 10, 43 and 44 we'll look at quickly. And the Bible says, "But so shall it not be among you, but whosoever will be great among you shall be your minister, and whosoever of you will be the chiefest shall be servant of all." If you want to lead for Christ, you must serve others. If you prioritize love for God, yeah, that's my most important, the best, love for God, that's number one. You must also prioritize love for others. John 15, verse 12, I'll read this and then I'll stop Brother Trevor from walking. John 15, 12, the Bible says this, "This is my commandment," Jesus is talking, "this is my commandment that you love one another as I have loved you." You know, Brother Trevor, as you can stop now, as you stand up, you grow, so to speak. And as you begin to do the things God wants you to do, you glow for Jesus. In other words, good works, virtue. You add to your faith virtue, the Bible says in 2 Peter chapter 1. You say no, and you learn a lot. You know a lot of stuff, and you're going yourself. You're soul winning yourself. You're doing what you're supposed to do now yourself. As that happens, you will find out not everybody else has doing all the five of those things. Not everybody else has arrived, so to speak, to where I've arrived. And there's a lot of people who don't just need theoretical help. They need real right now help. And God does never expect his people to just keep going toward the mission field and not to stop to help other Christians. And that's where the toe comes in. A lot of us, we recognize these things, and many of you in this room are doing some form of these things, and that's great. And you are advancing, so to speak, toward this goal. You are going this way saying, yes, God's going to use me someday because he's using me now. But all of a sudden, there's that bus kid that has a different problem than normal. All of a sudden, there's a situation that's bigger than you can understand. All of a sudden, you get a call from back home, like I did when I was a freshman in college, that your daddy got fired or whatever it is. And things can become a little more complicated because now I got to actually help other people while I'm growing myself. And Brother Ben, if you can come out here, we got a great seat for you. And this is just for Brother Trevor to have some fun here. Brother Ben, see if you can. This is smaller than I pictured. That's my excuse. I did not tell Brother Ben it was going to be that small. All right. And Brother Trevor, go ahead and try to pull him. All right. Get him out a little bit. There you go. Okay, awesome. They come just right past here is good, probably. There you go. Awesome. You're doing a great job. Just right there is good, yeah. This is actually not as hard as I pictured it when I was kind of thinking of these different things. But Brother Trevor's running out of hand space, as you can see. And he's got Brother Ben in tow, literally. All right. And this is how life happens. As you're going to whatever God has for you, and I hope it is for many of you the mission field, but whatever it is, you need, this is not a suggestion, by the way, and I'm not saying this is a only if it happens, only if that bus kid calls you. No, I'm saying this is something you need to learn. You got to do this. This is a got to. Please understand, I'm not talking about this just like this will always automatically happen. It will sometimes automatically happen. But do you know the people that let it happen are the people who want to let it happen? There are people in this room that you'll never tow somebody while you're in high school college just because nobody would ever be willing to ask you. And I'm not saying everybody's got to do it the same way. I'm not saying it has to affect everybody the same way, but I am saying this. This is a biblical process that needs to happen. The Bible says in Galatians 6, 2, bear ye one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. And I'm not saying every one of you has to bear the same type of burden. Everyone has to bear the same way, but every one of you needs to learn how to say, this is okay with me. This is something I'm doing. And by the way, that's what we're giving our lives to, right? Servant of all. I've heard a story, and I hope I'm not using the wrong version of the story, but I heard one time that Mrs. Wilkerson said to Pastor many years ago something like, hey, John, I think they're using you. And he, you know, in perfect spirituality, turned to her and said, isn't that the point? We want to be used, right? And, you know, and I don't know the whole story behind that, but that's the story I've heard. And I think that's the idea here. Yes, you'll feel used sometimes. Yes, sometimes you'll feel like, why doesn't he just walk himself? His legs work fine. I've seen him walk other places. But why in this situation do I have to help him so much? Why do I have to do so much? Why do I have to be everybody's servant? And then you'll be brought face to face with exactly what Jesus said, which is exactly what he wants from every one of us. As the verse we just read in Mark chapter 10, he said, hey, that's exactly what I want from you. You got to learn to tow. If you want to lead for Christ, you will have others that need you in college on deputation as a missionary, on the mission field, and so on. You're going to have to figure out how to lead others who are hurting and helpless. Do you know why the mission field needs missionaries? I'll give you a hint. It's not because the people are good. It's not because the people have everything figured out and they just need to switch religions. It's because they got issues. And you'll go there wherever it is, and you'll find out that if you went for a love of people, you will lose that love very quickly. If primarily. But you must have a love for God first that fosters a love for people, and then you can stay and serve and love and tow a lot of people along who are hurting and helpless. When you are struggling financially or emotionally or physically, they are too, and worse. When you need help, they do too. I'm talking about this guy. Trevor's hurting. Trevor's struggling. Trevor's weak. But so is this guy, and he's worse. You've got to learn to give with no promise or hope of return, with no guarantee that they will change or improve, no hint that your investment or energy will be worth it in many cases. And God will give you great stories and great excitement for those who the investment is worth it and for time periods that you're just rejoicing. But you have to be willing to give when you don't see those. You've got to serve beyond your human capacity for those. You've got to serve for beyond your human capacity for those who don't deserve it any more than you did. Number 7. If you're going to go, you've got a foe. F-O-E. The Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8, and I'm respecting the time. I'm going to spend a little more time on the last point, but I will get you out of here eventually. 1 Peter 5 verse 8. No, I'll respect your time, of course. I know you know that, but 1 Peter 5 verse 8, the Bible says this, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. At this point in the outline, at this point in the message, I just want to say, this is not super encouraging. Would you agree? This is not saying, oh yeah, I want to be a missionary like I always said. This is starting to be a long list. I feel like it's starting to be like a little bit like, and that's what I'm trying to illustrate for you. His hands are getting full. And these are all things I'm saying you need to learn in Bible college. You need to prepare before you go to some theoretical place, right? And now it's starting to get a little hard, Brother Trevor, right? And if that backpack was full of real books, it'd be getting a little heavy right now. And Brother Ben, even though he's a little smaller than some, he's not the lightest person ever, right? And we got the shield, and we got the flashlight, and we got, you know, lots of stuff going on. We got a lot of stuff we got to do. And now you're going to tell me you haven't even brought up the foe? And this is just not a passive foe, this is an active foe? We're talking about the devil who literally is walking around as you're trying to go forward for God, who literally is whispering lies in your ear every day, trying to get you to think and do and act like you ought not to. And he's messing with both of you, and he's hurting you and making you struggle, and he's causing relationships to fall apart that shouldn't be. And he's causing conflict. He's called the accuser of the brethren. He's causing conflict on the dorm floor. He's causing conflict in your car. He's causing conflict with your family. He's causing just lots of stress and problems and issues. And he's always in your face. He's always in your ear. He's always messing with you. He's always trying to get you to do what you want not to do. And what am I going to do about this? But I want to remind you, you do got a foe. If you're going to go, you got a foe. He is shooting those fiery darts. He is watching for chances to attack and devour. He is the accuser of the brethren we mentioned. He is the father of lies. He is old smutty face, the devil and Satan. He is a loser and a liar, but he is active. He wants to stop you or slow you down. He wants to distract and discourage you. He's got a short time and he knows it, and he's not ever won against God, but he has cast down many wounded. The Bible says about the foolish, the strange woman, many strong men have been slain by her, and I believe that's true about old Smutty Face himself. And be careful, be vigilant, be sober, Christian. Many strong men have been slain by him. Many other tools of Satan can claim the same conquests. Be sober, be vigilant, Christian. And this is the one I'm excited about. This message, like most of my messages, I've never preached before. And I was thinking about chapel, and it was Tuesday night, maybe. I called my wife crying about this one. And so I don't think I'm going to cry today, but it's exciting. It's the last point, And I want to say it makes everything else worth it. And yeah, I'll probably cry. Okay. But it makes everything else worth it. But it's better that way. 1 through 7 are all important. And they're so vital to your life. But this is the one that just gets me excited. And Brother Trevor, all this to say, now you got your foe around you, and you're still trying to go forward for God. It's a little hard. It's a little annoying. It's a little bit, at best, it's a little bit like, I can look to the people around me, and it seems like they're doing okay, so I guess I can keep going. But it's not sustainable for a lifetime unless we have 8. And 8, I'm not going to say it right away. I want to go back to the Bible. Matthew 28, verse 20, and I think you'll see what we're talking about. Matthew 28, verse 20. The Bible says this. I'll read 19 again. 19 and 20, the Bible says, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you, and lo." Hey, if you're going to go, you got to lo. Look what it says after the word lo. Lo, I am with you. If you're going to go, I'm so thankful we got a lo, I am with you. I joked about adding the word bro. We got a bro who says lo. But I don't know. But we've got a lo, I am with you. And I love this. By the time you've got this far, life's journey can seem discouraging. It's difficult and it would be easy to slow down or quit or fall. But there is this one more thing we need to remember. We have a friend, a master, the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave us a message in Matthew 28, 20. He said, "Lo, I am with you always." What an awesome thing. What an encouraging thing. What an uplifting thing. What a motivating thing. Jesus is with me. Jesus will go over there with me. And Jesus will go today with me. And Jesus is with me. This makes all of the other things worth it. For all of these other things, Jesus both give. But by the way, let me explain something. I feel like I didn't write it down clear enough for me to remember what I was talking about. This is what we're talking about. You remember those 7 other things we said? This is not just a good answer because now I'm saying, okay, and Jesus is with us. Yeah, let's go. There's a background here. All 7 of the other things, Jesus has at least 2 roles in all 7. Jesus, 1, his first role is always an example. Did you know that Jesus grew? The Bible says in Luke chapter 2, verse 52, "And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man." There was a day where Jesus had to stand up and say, "I'm going to grow up and be a man." There was a day where Jesus gave us, 1, the example, but he also gives us the partnership with us. In both ways. Do you know what it is we're supposed to grow in? Let me read you a verse. There's a few of them in the Bible. Let me read you a verse. Where is it at? I don't see it. Somewhere. It's good. Colossians 2, 6 and 7. Colossians 2, 6 and 7. And every one of these steps we talked about today is really all about Jesus. He gave us both the example and he gives us the partnership in every single one of these other steps as well. It's not just a "you do the 7 and then I'll be with you." No, it is every step of these 8. It's all about Jesus. Colossians 2, 6 and 7. The Bible says, "As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him, established in the faith as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving." The idea here is this: just like you got Jesus, you're going to grow with him. And that's what he's saying in each one of these steps. He says, hey, if you're going to go, you got to grow. But you're going to grow, 1, knowing that I gave you the example to grow. And 2, I'm going to grow with you. And every one of these steps, what's the next one? Let's see. What's 2? Let's see, the glow, right? Do you know what happens with glow? The Bible says in John chapter 8, verse 12, Jesus said, "I am the light of the world." He is the example. He is the out in front. He is saying, "I'm the one who's really light." But not just that. He says in 2 Corinthians 3, 17 and 18, we won't go there for a second time, but the point in 2 Corinthians 3, 17 and 18 is basically this. We're supposed to light up because Jesus lights up. It's been said before, we're not supposed to be the sun. We're supposed to be like the moon, reflect the light of the S-O-N, the sun, amen? And we're supposed to be somebody who shines because Jesus shines with us. Because I'm not shining saying, "This is my light, and I'm so good, and I'm such a good Christian." I'm shining saying, "This is Jesus' light, and Jesus is with me, and I'm shining the light of Jesus to the Father in heaven." And that's the idea there. And every one of these is something that's all about Jesus. Jesus gives us an example. And Jesus is our companion in all of these. He grew. And we are supposed to grow in him. He is the light of the world, and we shine his light with him. 3, he knows all. And what we are learning really is him. Colossians 2:3, I'm already there, and the Bible says, "In whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge." But not just that. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18, it says this, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of who? Our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It's all wrapped up in this last one. Hey, we got to, I am with you. And it's not just that I have to learn some books and read these long books and be confused about all this doctrinal potential heresy. It is that I have Jesus Christ I'm learning about. Jesus Christ I'm learning with. Jesus Christ I'm going with daily. What a great thought. Now you can see why I cried, called my wife crying. All right, number four. Jesus said no, right? Is it true he gave us the example? Hebrews 12, 1 and 2. I want to go back there. It's probably the last verse I'll look at. I'll just kind of summarize after this. Hebrews 12, 1 and 2. The Bible says, looking unto Jesus. We're supposed to get rid of our besetting sin, but the Bible says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him. Wait a minute. Jesus started here, so to speak. And Jesus went there, so to speak. And his there was the cross. And who for the joy that was set before him, he did endure the cross. He said no to sin and so on. The Bible says in Hebrews 4, 15 and 16, the same idea. Yet without sin, Jesus said no. And it'll help us say no. Hebrews 4, 15 and 16, if you jot it down, that's a good one. Jesus went and Jesus goes with us. Jesus brought others, but Jesus towed and he says, hey, come with me. And by the way, Matthew 11, 28, 29, we don't have time, but that verse teaches us that we're not pulling alone and we're not even, so to speak, pulling with Jesus. We're in the same yoke, which means because he's the strong one, he's the strong oxen, so to speak, he actually does all the work of the towing. And I love that concept. That's a whole other message, but I love that idea. I love the promise of Jesus. And oh, and by the way, did I mention this? Jesus already defeated the devil. I love this concept. Christian, can I say this? You need all eight of these. And if God spoke to your heart, that's great. I'm supposed to read a closing sentence. Let me get it. It's great, I'm sure, somewhere. All right. Realize Christ in you. Respond to it. And rejoice in it. Realize it, respond to it, rejoice in it. There is no life better than a life with Jesus. So three invitations today. Number one, somebody maybe needs to decide, I'm going to go. I'm going to go somewhere. Number two, realize the presence of Jesus. And number three, rejoice in his presence. Thank you.